This is Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women. Today is April 19th. This is Shirley Abram and Marion Cabot, and we're about to begin an interview with Rabbi Solomon Freehoff.
In the 40 years that I had the privilege or enjoyed working here, the community had greatly changed. And since the change is, I believe, typical of the general change in the American Jewish community, Pittsburgh can be an example of the historical, sociological development of the Jewish community, with which I presume this series is most directly interested. I would say that the Pittsburgh community, even 40 years ago, was not as sharply divided into classes and groups as many another community. Perhaps one chief reason is that there wasn't a large Jewish working class here, and therefore there was not a large Jewish Communist Party, and therefore there wasn't a sharp chasm between so-called entrenched classes, the comfortable classes, and a revolutionary radical class. Besides, in general, the upward mobility of Jewish people, their innate drive and ambition, would keep them from being permanently in a proletarian class. And in this smaller community, there weren't enough Jewish tailors working in shops or enough Jewish carpenters to form a proletariat. Nevertheless, there were divisions, of course. Divisions because the Jewish community in America is a stratified community, people having come at different times, Americanized, therefore, to a different degree, and therefore as nervous about the immigrant Jews as the rich Catholics of Maryland, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, who signed the Declaration of Independence. Lord Baltimore, who, by the way, was a convert to Catholicism in order to get a grant from James II. At all events, the aristocratic Catholics of Baltimore were very nervous and scornful of the poor Irish Catholics who came here after the Irish famine, and that's a very normal phenomenon. So first the Portuguese, Spanish Jews, who lived mostly in New York and Philadelphia and Savannah and New Orleans, were scornful of the poor German Jewish peddlers. And by the time the Russian Jews came here, the peddlers were owners of department stores and were scornful of the poor Russian Jews. The tragedy of the Russian Jews was that there was no other later mass immigration whom they would have the joy of being scornful about. And so they had the misery of being the recipients of scorn and no chance to give it out. At all events, the community was divided, of course, therefore, sociologically, you might say, social chronologically, according to the times of immigration. But the division also showed itself, you might say, in a doctrinal way. The newer immigrants tended, of course, to be Zionistic, to dream of a Jewish state in Palestine. To the older and more American groups, and it was only a historical accident that they happened to be the German groups, they were the second level of immigration, such ideas of a Jewish nation of its own struck them to be the sin of dual allegiance. And all the older groups were opposed to Israel. And besides, in those days, Zionism was a sort of a little party, a semi-fanatical group of enthusiasts. But history changed it all for us. And you might say history united the Jewish community. The State of Israel was founded. It became the only refuge for persecuted Jews. It achieved so much. It became the only great ally of our United States in the Middle East, and every success of it is a pride for all Jews. And that old division of completely Americanized and nationalized Jews have simply disappeared with the forces of history. So we have a united community in this regard, with regard to worldview. There isn't a Jewish family in Pittsburgh, let us say, or hardly a Jewish family, that isn't proudly American and proudly pro-Israel. Such unity was not produced, it was achieved not by an individual, it was achieved by history. And the joy to see the integration of a Jewish community in one man's lifetime is an inexpressible joy to a man who loves all Jews and Jewry. Now, this was done then, you might say, anonymously by the forces of history. But I always believed that history, besides being a series of anonymous forces, is also the accumulation of biographies. In other words, history is created by human beings. Also, say human beings working on the anonymous forces, or being worked on by the anonymous forces. And there were human beings in Pittsburgh who helped in the integration of the Jewish community. And I'd like to mention one because he's a friend of mine. And I suggest that if he gets well again, that he should be someone whose life story you should take down. I refer to Lewis Kaplan. I want you to consider his biography. He has no notion I'd talk of him. He would, in his usual way, growl at me if he knew I was talking. Here is a Jewish lad whose father and mother were a pious Orthodox Jewish family in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Killed by the flood, a little orphan boy brought into the Gusky Orphanage, an institution which no longer exists in the sociological change. And there he grew up, active and in the leadership of the Gusky Orphanage, was another remarkable Jew from England, Josiah Cohen. Josiah Cohen was brought here from England, strangely enough, to be a teacher in the general school conducted by Rode of Sholem Temple. The great temples in America, Emmanuel, Sinai in Chicago, etc., in the days when the public schools were poorly developed in America, conducted general schools equivalent to the parochial schools of the Catholic. And this young Englishman, Josiah Cohen, who later became a judge, was brought here to be the teacher of English in the Rode of Sholem school. And he became active as his career advanced, became active in the Gusky home. And this little Jewish orphan from Johnstown, whose parents were killed in the Johnstown flood, became a sort of, he saw he was a very bright little boy, and became a sort of a protege of his. And Lou's biography, went to night school and studied law and became a famous lawyer. But his work in the Jewish community, unlike a man who rose by his own efforts, and would therefore consider his own career the central interest of his life, this particular man made the Jewish community the central interest of his life. The Jewish charities of the different kinds, the Jewish Fund, and he was the one who merged together all these funds into a United Jewish Fund. So all the impulses of generosity, which always stirs Jews, the love for Palestine, the desire to help the poor, and all the various charities became united, and he merged the ideals, the charitable ideals of the Jewish community, into a rainbow of unity. In this regard, for example, a biography is part of history. And I suggest to you, ladies, when he gets well, he's very sick now, see if you can lure him to be as frank as I was with the early days of his boyhood and what he remembers of the past. and life in the Gusky Orphanage, and his whole career, and you will have an incomparable picture of at least one biography of a man who helped build the community. You might consider another man who is now 93, who came down from the oil country when oil was discovered up in Oil City, Leo Ruslander. It's a possibility. But I would say certainly Lewis Kaplan. Ladies, I thank you for the fun of doing this. And here endeth my story.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you.